Thank you for joining us today. This is Pat, and I'm reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, January the 16th. On the front page, the County Board's Land Use Committee met for its first meeting of 2026 on Monday night at the County Building. Land use talks, state energy code, and residential development. This is by Gordon Woods. On Monday, members of the County Land Use Committee discussed changes to state green energy policy as it pertains to how counties react with their own wind and solar ordinances. County Board Chairman Joe Witt wondered if it made sense to start with the state's policy and then address items the board might feel were deficient. As many times as we've gone back to the ordinances, I just hate to start that process all over again with solar battery storage if they're, meaning the state, going to be in there tinkering, Witt said. He suggested rather than adopt unique codes, the county adopt the state's code for battery storage and then considering making changes to it. Land Use Chairman Buck Carter said he felt it was important for the county to work with DCDC, DeWitt County Development Council, in promoting and developing more housing in the county. In December, the county issued 11 building permits for homes. DeWitt County really needs housing, and there are going to be some opportunities for rural subdivisions or more areas in the county for homes to be built, Carter said. Carter cited the Quick Wall opening in Clinton and the company's projection to have 200 employees within 3 years as impetus for new home construction. Carter said the Land Use Committee and county zoning could play an important role toward that end. Carter also mentioned a trust of 68 acres near Clinton that expires in July. According to Carter, the property is to be sold and the proceeds split evenly between the county and Clinton. Carter proposed trying to acquire the property rather than share the proceeds as a way of having more available building sites to offer. CJHS cheerleader awarded as state scholar athlete. Maylee Boston is pictured with her parents, Matthew and Marin Boston. Boston was named the 2025-2026 ICCA Scholar Athlete. Boston is a Clinton Junior High School cheerleader and has cheered all 3 years. Cheerleaders are nominated by their coaches and selected based on being an eighth grader on an ICCA member school competitive cheer team and maintaining a 3.5 or higher GPA during their junior high career. Boston was honored at ICCA State Champions on January 11th prior to her team taking the floor. Perry retires from Balms after 33 years. Becky Perry retired on December 31st from her position as detail manager at Baum Chevrolet Buick, overseeing a team of 6 to 8 employees. She began at the dealership part-time in 1992. She fostered the growth of the detail shop during that time, expanding services from simply reconditioning vehicles for sale to retail detailing for customers. She is an expert in her field, and Baum said it was extremely grateful for her many years of service. We have one obituary this morning, Tony Scott Brannon. That's B-R-A-N-N-O-N. Tony Scott Brannon, 59, of Clinton, passed away on January the 6th at his home surrounded by family. Cremation rites have been accorded and a celebration of life will be held at a future date. Salt Creek Patchmakers Quilt Guild presents Sew Out of This World in March. In Clinton, the Salt Creek Patchmakers Quilt Guild is excited to announce their annual show, Sew Out of This World. taking place on Friday and Saturday, March 6th and 7th, 2026, at Little Galilee Christian Camp in Clinton. Openings from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day, this year's event invites quilt enthusiasts and newcomers alike to experience the art and tradition of quilting. Admission is $8, cash or check only, with free entry for children under 12. The show will feature a variety of quilts on display, including the Guild Round Robin Challenge and UFOs Finished categories. Attendees can explore a range of inspiring designs and techniques in these non-voting exhibits, showcasing the creativity and skill of Guild members. There will also be a winner's showcase of last year's voters' favorites, as well as the theme category Galaxy Quilts, featuring star quilt blocks. A highlight of the show will be a special bed-turning event scheduled for 10:30 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. daily. This cherished tradition showcases quilts layered on a bed, turned back one at a time as each quilt story is heard. This year's attendees will enjoy quilts from the collection of Shirley Monkman, owner of Quilter's Delight in Clinton. The Quilting Expo will host vendors offering a variety of fabrics, tools, yarns, and notions for sale. Additionally, visitors can browse gently used quilting supplies, books, and other crafting items as Guild members de-stash their sewing rooms. The Patchmaker's Boutique will offer a selection of unique handmade quilted items crafted by Guild members, perfect for gift-giving or adding a personal touch to your home. Don't forget to stop by the Quilters Cafe, where soups, desserts, and beverages will be served. For further information, please contact us at saltcreekpatchmakers.com. Applications available for Spring 26 Master Gardening Training, Decatur, Illinois. University of Illinois Extension Master Gardener volunteers share unbiased, research-based information with their communities through community programs, answering public inquiries, maintaining demonstration gardens, and donating food from community gardens. Applications are currently being accepted for the Spring 2026 Master Gardener Training. Training will be offered in two locations: the Decatur Public Library, located at 130 North Franklin, and the Piatt County Extension Office, located at 210 South Market Street in Monticello. Sessions will be held from 9 a.m. to noon, beginning February the 3rd through April the 14th. The program fee is $175, and fee waivers are available. Master Gardener Training prepares volunteers through a comprehensive curriculum taught by the University of Illinois Extension educators and specialists, covering topics such as botany, annuals, perennials, soils, insects, woody ornamentals, vegetables, fruits, turf, integrated pest management, and wildlife. Interested individuals should apply by January 26th at go.illinois.edu/mgtrainingdmp. For questions, please contact Beth Miglin, Piatt County Horticulture Program Coordinator, at 217-762-2191, or Whitney Allison, Macon County Horticulture Program Coordinator, at 217-877-6042. University of Illinois Extension provides equal opportunities in programs and employment. And now, a story from the Washington Post, Scott Nova reporting. Congress agrees to fund Voice of America, bucking Trump shutdown order. Washington. Lawmakers from both parties and houses of Congress have agreed to provide about $653 million to fund Voice of America's parent agency, rejecting President Donald Trump's demand to defund the international broadcaster and shut it down. A bipartisan spending bill released Sunday would allocate $643 million for broadcasting from the U.S. Agency for Global Media, which oversees Voice of America, plus nearly $10 million for capital improvement. That figure is down from the $867 million appropriated for the agency each of the past 2 years, but it's more than four times the $153 million Trump requested that Congress provide to support the orderly shutdown of the U.S. Agency for Global Media Operations. The outlay is included in a broader bipartisan spending deal negotiated by House and Senate appropriators. The package still requires House and Senate approval before heading to Trump's desk. And now from the op-ed page, the Dear Clinton column by Joe Mellon. Road Rage from a Buddhist. Hello again, Clinton. This week I'm going to get into a topic that always gets under my skin, and you may feel the same way too. It's highway driving etiquette, or the lack thereof. After all, we live in a place where it seems over half our driving time is out of town, on the highway. Back when I was going to Stephen Decatur High School, they showed us a reel-to-reel film of car and truck crashes on the highway in a driver's education class. I remember paying closer attention to what they were teaching after seeing that. LOL. I guess the class's easiest lessons to forget dealt with the inconsiderate highway driving habits that cause other drivers to get into accidents or become upset with road rage. Things like matching speeds, blind spot lingering, or not dimming bright lights soon enough. But the one causing me the most anxiety in the highway, especially in big cities, has its remedy spelled out in the signs. Keep right except to pass. Sometimes it feels more like playing dodgeball out there than trying to make it safe, home safe. I'm always on the lookout for that special speed and lane that will allow me to hit the cruise button and relax for a bit. But sometimes it's elusive for too long, and I start to feel like I'm turning into the Incredible Hulk. When my road rage symptoms start to emerge, I try to quickly remember to give them the benefit of the doubt and recall the Buddhist perspective. They're doing the best they can at their level of awareness, which always calms me down. Maybe they're stressed out with something and unaware of their current speed or lane position. Perhaps they missed that day in class. Like most things in life, it's the lack of awareness that causes and perpetuates many issues. Whenever there's a publicly shared lack of awareness issue, its perpetuation stems from a lack of proper education. Education received at home, in schools, or through tests given when renewing driver's licenses. Public service announcements with slogans like click it or ticket are memorable, but where are the be right, keep right flashing billboards? Wouldn't it be cool to have ideas for roadside PSAs publicly shared and voted on? Maybe they do, and I don't know about it. Of course, other methods of driver education may not be too far down the road. One is considerately and safely electronically notifying a selected vehicle that they should not be matching speeds or whatever. Maybe some smart cars already have that feature. I try to remember to glance in the rearview mirror often enough to make sure I'm not causing someone else road rage. Until empathy is collectively understood and practiced, issues like matching speeds will always exist. If you haven't made your New Year's resolution yet, may I suggest practicing empathy or responding to my weekly articles with an email more often? I'm sure you have better suggestions, ideas, or thoughts you'd love to share with us. Maybe your remedy for road rage is making a fist with your toes or taking a short break. If it works, I hope they're teaching it in driver education classes and flashing it on roadside billboards. Be safe out there, Clinton. Joe Mellon is a graduate at SDHS and Millikan University and worked at the Decatur Firestone Tire Plant. He raised a family in Georgia, wrote and published a book, and is happy to get back to Central Illinois again. Have something to share? Write us at gordon@normalitenewspapers.com. And now to sports. Rochester wins Clinton-hosted wrestling meet. Mark Rogers reporting. From Clinton, on Wednesday, January the 7th, the Clinton Maroons wrestling teams hosted three other teams in a different setup. Each team wrestled two other teams, as in a triangular meet, but not a third team, as in a quadrilangular, including Clinton. There were El Paso, Gridley, Lincoln, and Rochester. There were two matches at a time, one on the gray mat south and one on the south black mat. Clinton started against Rochester on the gray mat while EPG took on Lincoln. The round of matches ended with Rochester over Clinton, 58-26. Rochester's had grapplers in more weight classes than Clinton. There were many points lost there. EPG beat out Lincoln 41-35. The second round of matches pitted Clinton against Lincoln and EPG against Rochester. Lincoln also had more weight classes represented, but also took down the Maroons handily 53-28. Rochester, again, the greater team, edged out EPG 42-36. In overall wrestling, Rochester took the top spot with 100 points, followed by Lincoln with 88 points. The scoring was rounded out by EPG with 77 points and Clinton with 54 points. Clinton teams win in New Year's showdown. Mark Rogers reporting. The Clinton High School Athletic Department hosted the New Year's basketball showdown with 12 teams involved in six games on Saturday, January the 10th. There was no championship, just teams having a chance to play each other and get a glimpse of what other conferences and rankings might be like. The first game pitted the Hayworth Hornets against the Peoria Christian Chargers, with the Chargers winning 66-55. Next on the agenda was a matchup between Roanoke Benson Rockets, plying their basketball skills against the Normal Calvary Christian Academy Knights. This game was a Rockets runaway, with them winning 63-29. The third game of the afternoon saw the Lexington Minutemen facing the Mount Pulaski Hilltoppers. This was a closer game, with the Minutemen taking the win 67-55. In the late afternoon, the toughest game of the day arrived. The Springfield Calvary Academy Saints met up with the Trojans of Morora Forsyth. This game was tied at the end of regulation and at the end of the first overtime. It took a second overtime for the Trojans to eke out a three-point win. The fifth great game of the day was a switch to girls basketball, with the hometown Lady Maroons taking on Leroy Lady Panthers. Statistically, the two teams were closely matched, as the first quarter proved. The Lady Panthers took a one-point lead in the first. The second quarter was an awakening for the opposition, as the Lady Maroons went on a 15-8 run for a 36-28 lead in the halftime buzzer. The Lady Maroons came out on fire, and the Lady Panthers seemed to have retreated to their den. The third quarter was well orchestrated, with a 15-2 run. The Lady Maroons seemed unstoppable, and they were, as the final stanza saw the Lady Maroons again outdistance their opponent to win 65-35. The Maroons were led by Clara Dempsey with 15 points, Lila Clover with 14 points, and Avery Smith with 13 points. The Lady Maroons are now 16-4 overall. The Lady Panthers were led by Kendall Spratt with 13 points, including 3 3-point baskets. The final game of the night had the Clinton Maroons hosting the 11-3 Peoria Heights Patriots, another evenly matched game. The Maroons came out on the floor ready to play, and when the dust settled, the home team had a 26-7 lead at the end of the first quarter. The second quarter saw the opposition spark to life and only drop 2 more points to the Maroons. At the halftime sound, the Maroons were leading 44-23. The second quarter began with the Patriots showing signs of life but still coming up a little short as the Maroons led 65-41 going into the final quarter. The last stanza was a comeback for the Patriots, but it was too late as the Maroons won the game 81-61. The hometown Maroons were led by Keaton Graves with 38 points, including 4 3-point buckets, Jaden Bell with 15 points, and Keegan Daughtry with 13 points, including 1 3-pointer. The Maroons went 13-5 on the season. The Patriots were led by Drondre Mack with 16 points and DeAndre Marks with 15 points, including a 3-point basket. The Patriots fall to 11-4 overall season. The Maroons team sweep Hayworth on the road. Mark Rogers reporting. Hayworth. On Friday, January 9th, the varsity basketball teams from Clinton High School headed out Route 51 to remove the Stingers from Hayworth Hornets. This would be a tough task against the tough Hornets. The ladies' game was played first, with the Lady Maroons holding the Lady Hornets to 6 points while scoring 15 points of their own, including a couple of 3-point shots. The second quarter was more docile, with the Hornets only losing the quarter by 1 point. However, this left the Lady Maroons with a 24-15 lead heading into the locker room for halftime. Starting the second half, the Lady Hornets began to feel the heat of possible defeat and outscored the Lady Maroons by a point to chip away at the Clinton lead. Also, during the third quarter, Lady Maroon Carly Anderson scored her 1,000th career point at Clinton High School. The fourth quarter saw the Lady Hornets come alive after being prodded too much. The home team from Hayworth fought back to take the fourth quarter 21-13 to tie the game at 47 points. The battle was on, or not. As the teams came out for the 4-minute overtime to end the first quarter with a 14-9 lead, no one was sure what would happen next. The Lady Hornets had made a great comeback, but could they keep it going, and would the visiting Lady Maroons buckle under the pressure? As they have throughout the season, the Lady Maroons fought back, going on a 15-6 run to arrive at the top of the end of the game at 62-53. The Lady Maroons hit 8 three throws in overtime. Both teams ended the evening's play with a 15-4 records. The Lady Maroons were led by Carly Anderson with 31 points, which included 6 3-pointers. She was followed by Lila Clover with 15 points, including 1 3-point. The Lady Hornets were led by Carissa Cook with 25 points, including 3 3-pointers, followed by Grace Hartwig with 16 points, including 2 3-point baskets. The home team Lady Hornets also had 4 ladies foul out of the game. An exciting game to watch, and kudos to both teams for excellent exhibition of ladies' basketball. Next on the docket was the boys' basketball tussle. the game began with the home team Hornets taking a 5-point lead, 14-9. The second quarter saw a different Maroons team take the floor and close the gap to 1 point at halftime, with the Hornets leading 27-26. Another ruckus was dwelling in the wings as both teams were playing well. Both teams played hard and fast, with two of the Hornets fouling out. The final quarter saw the home team Hornets score 13 points, only to be outdone by the visiting Maroons, who scored 17 points and win by 4, a second great game in a row. The Maroons had 3 players in double figures: Keaton Graves with 22 points, Jaden Bell and Jackson Reynolds both with 10 points. The Hornets were led by Chase Rupert with 21 points, including 2 trays. McLean County Senior Golf Association invites new 60-plus members. Bloomington, the McLean County Senior Golf Association is entering its 56th year with more than 300 members and an invitation for anyone 60 or older to join. Members golf weekly from April through September at courses generally within a 50-mile radius of Bloomington Normal. Membership is not limited to McLean County residents, as the name may imply. In most instances, members play at discounted prices. The season wraps up with a banquet in which meals are subsidized by the association. You can join with a group or play as a single and be assigned to a group on a weekly basis. Courses, play dates, and tee times are coordinated by volunteer members. Membership is broken down into 6 age groups: 60 to 64, 65 to 69, 70 to 74, 75 to 79, 80 to 84, or 85 or more. Annual dues are $20. Apply for membership at mcga.org. That's mcsga.org. The 2025 DeWitt County Tentative Multiplier announced. Springfield. DeWitt County has been issued a tentative property assessment equalization factor of 1.000, according to David Harris, Director of the Illinois Department of Revenue. The property assessment equalization factor, often called the multiplier, is a method used to achieve uniform property assessments among counties as required by law. This equalization is particularly important because some of the state's 6,600 local taxing districts overlap into 2 or more counties, such as school districts, junior college districts, fire protection districts. If there was no equalization among counties, substantial inequities among taxpayers with comparable properties would result. State law requires property in Illinois to be assessed at 1/3 of its market value. Farm property is assessed differently, with farm home sites and dwellings subject to regular assessing and equalization procedures. And this from the DeWitt County Sheriff's Office. The Sheriff's Office have received a call from a citizen making us aware that they had received a call from a Decatur police officer advising them that they had failed to show up for jury duty. The officer then advised the citizen they needed to meet in person and pay a bond. No law enforcement officer will call you regarding a warrant or posting a bond and would never ask you to meet in person. The DeWitt County citizen would not be required to serve jury duty in another county for a state prosecuted case. If an individual does not appear for jury duty, the judge will have the sheriff and a deputy will personally come to your residence and escort you to the judge upon his order. If you receive any concerning calls or scam type, contact your local law enforcement agency. Sheriff Mike Walker. It is good to be aware of the scams that are out there, and if in doubt, check with the proper authorities. And at that note, I leave you for now, and we'll be back with you again next week.